Welcome to the Model Railroader, your ultimate destination for all things railroading. From trains.com, we bring you step-by-step modeling and construction projects, insightful reviews, tips from the experts, and more. This program is proudly presented by Aftersight, a community hub for audio news, entertainment, and resources. Find us at aftersight.org. This program is intended to be used solely by individuals who are blind or have low vision. All aboard!
Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine, read by Jason Consul. Today, we will be reading the following articles: A Salute to the Buckeye State, and Welcome to Colorado Plains. The first article is A Salute to the Buckeye State. This HO scale layout celebrates railroading in Northeast Ohio from the 1950s to present, by Lou Sassy, photos by the author. For 68 years, the Youngstown Model Railroad Association, or YMRA, has been a part of its namesake Ohio community. During that time, the group has had 5 layouts in 3 locations. Today, the club enjoys running trains on an O scale layout as well as a 24 by 47 foot HO scale model railroad, the latter the subject of this article. The HO layout is set in Northeast Ohio and features steam and diesel locomotives, freight and passenger traffic, and detailed scenes based on Youngstown and the surrounding area. As the YMRA pushes towards its 7th decade, there are no signs the club is slowing down. Club history. The YMRA traces its roots to an advertisement in the March 1957 issue of Railroad Model Craftsman magazine. The ad encouraged those in the Youngstown area looking to start a model train club to get in touch with Robert Folsom. 1 month later, on April 1, 1957, 8 gentlemen with a common interest in HO scale model railroading met at George Sankey's home on Tippecanoe Road in Youngstown. 2 of those 8 are still members of the club today. The others have moved away or passed on. After the initial meeting, the club was off and running. In a club written history, it notes, quote, "During our first year, while searching for a location to construct a layout, the members built a 5-by-10-foot portable layout for the Railroad Community Committee of the Mahoning and Shenandoah Valley. They operated it for them at the Canfield Fair and an industrial show at Adora Park. This committee was comprised of representatives of the local railroads at the time," end quote. The carriers included the Baltimore and Ohio, Erie, New York Central, Pennsylvania Railroad, and Youngstown and Southern. The railroad connections proved beneficial to the club. In December 1957, the YMRA moved into the New York Central Station in Youngstown. Not long after moving in, the club started work on its layout. 4 years later, in early December 1961, the group hosted its first open house. External situations forced the club to regroup in June 1964. Quote, "As the Mahoning Valley's economic decline escalated, we were forced to leave our first home," end quote. The club's history continued. Quote, "For the next 2.5 years, we held meetings at members' homes until obtaining the old gymnasium on the 4th floor of the Eagles Building at the corner of 5th Avenue and Rayon in Youngstown. January of 1967 found us eagerly contemplating a king-size layout in the gym as compared to the cramped quarters in the old NYC station," end quote. When the Eagles had to move, the club again had to search for a place to meet. Fortunately, a club member came to the rescue. Quote, "Thanks to the help of Butch Phillips, 1940 to 1998, the club acquired its present location in the old structure that was formerly the 4 Mile Run Christian Church, and we moved in April 1978, end quote, the club's history noted. At its new home, the YMRA expanded to include an O-scale layout in the former church sanctuary. The group's HO model railroad is located in the lower level. In the 2000s, the club was able to secure a long-term future, Quote, in 2009, a new chapter was opened in our history as we began the process to purchase our building from our landlords of the past 40 years, end quote. The group's history continued. Quote, the sale was completed in the spring of 2021. We are now proud owners of our home, end quote. Building the HO layout. The HO Scale Model Railroad, started in 1978, depicts a Midwest steel hauling railroad in the northeastern Ohio area. The era can vary between 1950 and the present, depending on the equipment being operated. The track plan is freelance. Before construction began on the layout, all the walls of the room were painted and tempered hardboard backdrops were installed. The backdrops were then painted blue with either hand-painted scenes or commercial photos from train junkies applied. Incandescent lamps were used for the majority of the layout lighting. The model railroad is built on L-girder benchwork. The layout height ranges from 43 inches to 60 inches. The maximum grade is 2%. In various locations, screen, cardboard lattice, or foam board were used to support hard shell scenery. The scenery base was then painted with flat, earth-toned latex paints. The vegetation and trees on the model railroad are various offerings from Scenic Express and Woodland Scenics. The rivers and lakes were poured with Liquitex. A treat for the senses. The structures are a mix of kit-built, kit-bashed, and scratch-built. The Youngstown Station is a replica of the former New York Central / Pittsburgh and Lake Erie building on Youngstown. See A Nod to the Past on page 36. Most of the structures, including the station, have interior and exterior lighting. Many, such as the steel mill, industrial park, drive-in movie theater, and coal hopper unloader, incorporate animation. The animation has proven popular with club members and visitors alike. In addition, the layout features a working amusement park and operating traffic lights. The massive mill shows the steelmaking process from pouring the molten steel to rolled coils. The entire model railroad can be operated in night mode utilizing blue lights. Traffic sounds, church bells, and carnival music further bring the layout to life. Running trains. The layout features Atlas Code 100 flex track and a mix of Pico and Shinohara turnouts. Turnout sizes include number 8 for Main, number 6 for Yards, and number 4 for Industrial Park and Steel Mill. The roadbed is cut from hamasote sheets glued to 3/4-inch plywood. Trains are run using direct current cab control. The layout can support up to 9 operators, 3 on the 2 main lines, 2 each in the Main Yard and Steel Mill, and one each at the coal mine and industrial park. A typical operating session consists of 4 to 5 mainline trains, 1 or 2 on the inner circle, up to 3 in the main yard, 2 in the steel mill, and 1 each in the industrial park and coal mine. Members of the operating crew communicate with each other using two-way radio headsets. Operating NJ International and kit-bashed signals are controlled by turnout position. Club members are encouraged to bring their own locomotives and freight cars to run on the layout. A supply of club-owned equipment from multiple eras is kept on premises, so consists can be made period correct. Into the future. Though the YMRA has been around for 68 years, the group is looking toward the future. The club added a 625-square-foot addition to its building as a meeting room and display area for its HO modular railroad that's under construction. One of the strengths of the YMRA is being able to draw on the varied skills of its members. The club wants to meet members where they are in the hobby. A newcomer can run trains on the layout just as easily as a longtime member with more advanced equipment. The YMRA is open to new members. For more information, visit the club's website at ymra.org. An inset to the article is A Nod to the Past. There are many structures on the layout, but the Pittsburgh and Lake Erie / New York Central Station in Youngstown has special significance. The prototype structure not only served passengers over the years, but the station's lunchroom was home to the Youngstown Model Railroad Association's first layout. The original station was built in 1926. Despite being a prominent building in Youngstown, there is little photographic record of the station. Jack Yarborough, a member of the P&LE Historical Society, was determined to build a model of the station in HO scale. He called on the assistance of YMRA charter members Jack DeMain and Jack Fithian, both lifelong Youngstown residents, to help with research. After completing the model, Jack donated it to the club. To accommodate the building, the club had to realign its mainline tracks and remove part of the city scene. If you look closely, you can see a miniature layout through the windows of the third floor lunchroom, signed Dean DeMain. A second inset to the article is that big city look. The idea for modeling downtown Youngstown came about when we wanted to hide a set of holding tracks. Our goal was to create a scene that would be of interest to both members and visitors. We modeled downtown Youngstown as it appeared in the late 1950s and early 60s, before the closing of the steel mills caused it to decline. The buildings surrounding Central Square are based on prototype structures. We researched long-lost structures in the Mahoning Valley Historical Society, records of companies that had or still occupied the buildings, aerial photos from the City Engineer Office, and property records at the Public Library. Extensive kitbashing and scratch building was required to model the buildings that were once downtown. The Central Tower building features a plexiglass base with overlays for the Art Deco facade. One of the more interesting discoveries was the town diner. We found the structure in a scrapyard. Club members measured the building and took many photographs. The city scene has been a hit with visitors. People point out to their children or grandchildren where they used to work, shop, and eat. Signed, Bruce Silvernail. The layout at a glance. Name, Youngstown Model Railroad Association. Scale, HO, or 1 to 87.1. Size, 24 by 47 feet. Prototype, freelance. Locale, Northeast Ohio. Era, 1950 to present. Mainline run, 200 feet, parentheses, double track outer main, close parentheses, comma, 125 feet, parentheses, single track inner main, close parentheses. Minimum radius, 30 inches for main, or 22 inches for industrial areas. Minimum turnout, number 8 for main, number 6 yards, number 4 for industrial park slash steel mill. Maximum grade, 2%. Benchwork, L girder. Height, 43 inches to 60 inches. Roadbed. Homosote on 3/4 inch plywood. Track, Atlas Code 100 flex track. Scenery, hard shell, some foam board. Backdrop, painted tempered hardboard. Control, direct current cab control. The next article is Welcome to Colorado Plains, Part 1, Introduction to our 2025 project, a T-track layout. By Bryson Sleppy, photos by Cody Grivno. Picture this. It's a random Thursday afternoon, and you happen to be in the model railroader workshop. David Pop starts to open some boxes filled with laser-cut wood that he received in the mail. What do you do? Well, if you're me, you ask David what he has in there. Little did I know that I was volunteering myself to build the next model railroader project layout. 2024's project layout, Fremont Mills, introduced modular standards to the world of model railroader project layouts in HO scale. This year, we thought it would be fun to dive into N-scale modular layout building and build a continuous loop in roughly the same footprint as Fremont Mills. If you've been to a train show in a banquet hall or larger, you most likely have seen a T-track layout. It's a popular modular standard for N-scale that grew from the roots of N-track. Introduced to the United States in fall 2001, the T-track standard calls for modules that are only 12 inches wide. Like Fremont Mills, a Fremo modular layout, these modules are designed to be connected to other modules in order to make a larger layout. The standards are guidelines that modelers must follow so that these modules connect together without any issues. These standards include measurements like track height, displacement and curvature. David was writing a chapter devoted to modular railroading in his N-scale book, (Your Guide to N-scale Railroading, from shop.trains.com, when he ordered some T-track kits from RS Laser Kits. Originally, he was going to build a couple of straight sections and a curve for his book project, but once I asked to join, we ended up building a whole mini layout. T-track standards. When T-track was introduced, the standards were designed so that modules could be placed on tables that are not specific model railroading tables, as opposed to standards like FREMO, where the height of the railhead is measured from the floor. T-track specifies that the height of the module must be 2 3/4 inches high. To adjust for uneven tables or rail height, each module uses bolts and threaded T-nuts at all four corners for leveling. Single straight modules must be 12 1/8 inch wide, but the depth can range from 5 inches to 14 3/8 inches. Outside corner modules are a square that measures 14 3/8 inch by 14 3/8 inch. These can then be permanently or semi-permanently attached to each other to make double, triple, or quad straight modules or end caps, made from two outside corners. Kato Unitrack was selected as the track of choice for the modular standard as the 11-inch, or 282mm, and 12 3/8 inch, or 315mm, radii worked well in the square corner module measurements. And unless modules are permanently or semi-permanently attached to each other, the joint between Unitrack pieces is what connects modules together. Full T-track standard measurements can be found at ntrack.org, that's ntrak.org, and modelers can build their own modules if preferred. However, companies like Kato, manufactured by Woodland Scenics, Klondikes, and RS Laser Kits produce module kits that build to T-track standards. T-track standards also state that each main line must be wired with opposite polarity. Standards like this are especially important when operating within a club or show environment so you conform to the rest of the group. Since our immediate plans were to just operate together in the office, we discussed wiring both main lines the same way, but decided against it. In order to get the best of both worlds, you could solder a power-reversing double-pole, double-throw switch to the feeder that is opposite the wiring standard. Just be sure to label the switch to avoid short circuits if it is set the wrong way. For the same reason, we didn't install any crossovers between mains. Planning our T-track layout. This isn't the first time that the model railroader staff has worked with T-track. In 2016, we did the Staff T-Track Challenge, which ran as a series on Model Railroader Video Plus, now trains.com, and in the June 2016 issue of Model Railroader. David built a dozen module kits following ntrack.org plans and gave them to staff members and other modelers to build whatever their hearts desired. Many of those modules appeared at TrainFest and some NMRA conventions. However, they were a potpourri of vastly different scenes that didn't match. We didn't want that this time around, so we decided to make all of our modules flow together through scenic elements like roads, rivers, and hills. We wanted it to look like a normal model railroad layout when we're finished, just in a modular form. But what would we model? When we first started planning the layout, David and I had both been through Colorado on Amtrak's California Zephyr. David purchased a set of Kato Amtrak Superliner cars and an ALC 42 Charger diesel locomotive to commemorate his trip, and he wanted a layout to run it on. We determined that while the ride through eastern Colorado was fairly bumpy, the scenery would fit perfectly on a T-track layout. To be able to put the layout on virtually any rectangular folding table, we kept our layout to an oval. Originally, the design featured two sets of four straight single modules bracketed by two corner modules at each end. With the straight sections being 12 1/8 inch long and corners being 14 1/8 inch long, we were able to make a 28 by 76 inch railroad. Because he was writing about modular railroading, David ordered multiple varieties of T-Track kits from RS Laser Kits and Klondikes. These included modules with flat wood tops, modules that are designed to use foam inserts with plywood track boards, and double modules. What to model? With the baseline understanding that we wanted to model the Colorado Plains and that all of our modules would flow together like a layout, it was now time to figure out what scenes we would model. We both agreed that there should be an Amtrak station, and the perfect location for that would be Fort Morgan, just east of Denver. While I was originally going to build the station using a Walther's kit, David ended up taking over that module when I decided that my grain elevator scene needed to be four modules. Four modules? Well, I knew that I wanted to model a grain elevator and started to design an elevator scene that would only fit in the double module space. But the more I thought about it and discussed with coworkers, it was decided that I should turn it into a four-module-long siding so that it could prototypically hold and load four cars instead of two. When designing his modules, David had the idea that he would focus his efforts on modeling Colorado farmland. One of his end cap modules would feature a farmhouse and barn, while the other end cap was to be roadside fields with some cows along the tracks watching the trains. By the time it was all said and done, we had added enough modules to make a layout that was 102 inches long while keeping the same width. As always when it comes to building layouts, some things don't entirely go according to plan. However, I believe we successfully achieved our vision with how the layout would turn out. What's next? Next month, we'll showcase the benchwork that we built from various kits and how we added track and wired the modules to comply with T-Track standards. In March, we will focus on the structures, scenery, and details that we added to our modules. We knew from the beginning that there wouldn't be much in the way of operations, but with a siding for the elevator and spur to David's warehouse, we can still do some switching. As of this writing, we plan on bringing the layout with us to TrainFest in Milwaukee in November 2024, and may even start to build more modules at the show. Yes, this is a modular layout, and David and I have already been in cahoots about adding more modules to the layout while keeping cohesive scenery. So be sure to keep an eye on trains.com and the next two issues of Model Railroader for more T-Track fun. Inset to the article, the layout at a glance. Name, Colorado Plains. Scale, N or 1 to 160. Size, 2 feet 4 3/4 inches by 8 feet 6 inches. Prototype, BNSF. Locale, Eastern Colorado. Era, modern. Style, T-Track modular. Mainline run, 18 and 2/3 feet. Minimum radius, 11 inches. Minimum turnout, number 4. Maximum grade, none. Benchwork, modular laser cut kits. Height, 2 3/4 inch. Roadbed, none. Track, Cotto Unitrack. Scenery, Sculpt-a-Mold. Backdrop, painted medium density fiberboard. Control, NCE DCC. The next inset is what's next. January, welcome to Colorado Plains. February, benchwork, track, and wiring. March, structures, scenery, and details. Thank you for joining us for Model Railroader Magazine, read by Jason Consul.
You've been listening to the Model Railroader, brought to you by trains.com. That's TRANES.com, in collaboration with AfterSight. If you've enjoyed this episode, we invite you to visit our website at aftersight.org for more audio editions and original podcasts. For additional inquiries or to contact us, call us at 303-786-7777 or email contact@aftersight.org. Thank you for listening.